Welcome to the Solomon Show. My name is Solomon Buckley. I am the apostolic leader of the Fresh Wind International Mission Space Incorporated. For more information about Fresh Wind International, you can email freshwindinternational@gmail.com. Again, for more information about Fresh Wind International, you can email freshwindinternational@gmail.com.
I know I prayed my testimony that I wanted to tell you guys, but thank the Lord for giving me this word, for preparing this word. I mean, the enemy really fought this word. He fought it through a person I held in high esteem of the last church, because she didn't hear me out and misunderstood something I was saying. But I had to find myself, because of the love of God in me, asking, well, what vernacular, what language did you use? So I'm going to do a teaching, and this is a mixture, like I was teaching my apostle, that Solomon, they called Solomon a preacher, but he was a teacher. So, and the Bible speaks about double honor to those who preach and teach. Just like we have a warning of God if we don't teach and preach the right thing. So that the word of God covers everything in our life. But I wanted to start with the first on the teaching is the church. So not to be long, I see what time I started. But the church in the Greek is called ecclesia, which stands for called out ones, sent ones, and together together. So I thought about that, and I thought, Lord, all these different churches that have different names are called by what they think. And what I didn't pray and didn't tell you was that God woke me up early this morning and showed me something. Because I listened to about 3 or 4 ministers, and Todd was thinking, ain't that going to confuse you? But all he did was enlighten his word, because God's gracious mercy allowed us to worship him the way people felt they should. But it turned, just like this world, into a God or a something outside of a personal relationship. And one of the ministers that said that, you can even make the church you attend your God. You can make the religion that you serve your God.
Yes, sir.
If you're not careful to keep our God, God. He is number one.
That's right.
He's the it in everything, anybody. Come on now.
That's the truth.
I know I did a God out once, and I know people probably laughed at me. I said he's the in the hum. He's the in the dumb. And he's the in the wrong.
All right, now.
I sure did.
All right.
And I did UNG. I talked about Jacob's ladder. I talked about him being hung at Calvary. See, and when Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel to cook food on cow dung. And I made sure I found all the scriptures with the in it. Because that's why I say he's the He's the it in everything. Come on now. Got revelation of that for some people out here, but let me go back and stay on track. That's why I was gonna pass out the notes. So the church, ecclesia, I just gave you the meaning of that. And I got a little note here. You're all of you, sitting right here, right now, are God's dwelling place. So one of the preachers, he gave that meaning of church as a dwelling place. But it made me think about it. Because God lives each one of us. So the message took on a whole other form when I listened to these other preachers. And by the way, I want to add that that lady, the last one that sang, is a white woman. And these are white preachers. And I know to some of us that wouldn't matter. But she don't sound like she's white. But that's a white woman singing that. I said, wow. And these are white preachers that were bringing a word. And they weren't as, you know, jovial as they normally are, because they said, looking at the world today, people going on off their own way. And that's what the world talked about. It was a time in the Old Testament, and it's a time in this, because Solomon said it. I'm talking about our preacher, teacher Solomon. He said, nothing new under the sun.
That's right, nothing new.
Nothing new. So here we are. Again, back where God know nothing new under the sun, people are making everything go the way they want it to go.
Yeah.
Instead of reading that word,
that's right.
Praying and fasting,
there you go.
And hearing what God is saying about the So I got some scripture references. Somebody probably can be really silly right now, but I will give these two because I know them, and then I'll talk about the mercy of God, because that was one of my first messages in my father's house.
Oh, yeah.
And that father's house, somebody talked about that too this morning, and I just couldn't tell my husband. No, they're giving me the bits and pieces I need to know I'm on the right track. So 1 Corinthians 3:16. You could just write it down when you go there, but it says, know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. So that is the meaning of church as well. You are the dwelling place. Yep. Is that what it says, y'all? Because those are no turning. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. I know we got different translations.
Amen.
And the next one is 1 Corinthians 6:19. Yep. Paul is on it. Paul says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And some translations now read Holy Spirit, which is in you. Ye have of God. You are not your own. Now, like the translation says, that you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belongs to God. That's why we got to get back, Bishop, to teach the fullness of the Godhead. Colossians 2:9. Teaching the fullness of who he is. In the translations. But just to let you know the one I'm talking about, that they caught my eye when I was first brought into the ministry, was John 14:2. And I got one before here, but 2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. When I looked up that mansion's word, it says we are the mansions of God, the dwelling place of God. So it makes you think, really think, because heaven is real. And that's why I come to I break it down, because to stay on track and not to get too far off, it's ecclesia. Is a gathering of those summoned. In ancient Greece, assembly of citizens in the city or state. Its roots lay in the Homeric agora, the meaning of the people. So we have to understand that when we say church, we're talking about more than the building of the church. We're talking about you as the church. And that's what makes the church. Mm-hmm. And one of the speakers this morning said, you can go to church all day long, still go to hell. You go into church expecting the church righteousness to save you, but I heard you pray this morning. It's a personal relationship. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you know you know. And what's that young man, this young man that sings a song, he says, if I think about it, I know his name, but he makes a comment on there. He says, I want to know your name before I get to the gate, and you don't know mine. Mm. Yeah. I said, wow. Mm-hmm. See, I don't want to keep on sinning. Come on now. Get to the gate. Know about you, Lord, and you don't know my name.
That's what I heard.
And I said, wow, ain't that something? Now, I can think of his name, but anyway, on my notes here, I have, you know, the link to that, so anybody can go and look at that ecclesia. And then, of course, Hebrews 11:25. You guys be turning all day with me. But it says, forsake not the assembly of another. And no, that's different translations. And that has been read for people to know you got to go to a church. But no, the church comes together and worship.
Say that.
And so he's given us the privilege of coming into his house. That's how right. By his name. But he got to still live on inside of
him. That's right.
And I don't think sometimes the world understand that because of hurts and wounds and what Apostle explained last week. knowing where you go. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm always about nitty gritty. Yep.
Right.
But it says, forsake not the assembly of one another. So, yeah, you want to continue to come and fellowship mm-hmm. and do things in the house of God, because he said, don't forsake the assembly
right.
of one another. Now, does the assembly look like a church? You are the church. So where you go, you make room for him to come in. And that's what I got when I read the word. I made a note to myself to tell you guys, one Wednesday, Aunt Todd brought me into my home church. And I made a disclaimer. And I know it was the Holy Ghost because it stopped Bible study. But I had to read it to you guys, so you know I put it down here. You guys will get the same notes I'm reading from now with my closed eye, because I haven't my glasses yet. But this is what I told him. I remember what I told him. I went in and rode in, and I said, you know where you want to end up? And he brought me the mic, and I made the comment. The church system, organized church, is in the kingdom of God. I said, but unfortunately, everybody in the church does not have the kingdom of God within it. And if you're my church, they looked at me, and God, you stay with me. And I kind of like, where did that come from? But I know God was speaking. Mm-hmm. That was a very prophetic move of God. He said the church, the organized church, and he also told me, don't give my church, just let them know, teach. So, wow, okay, God. Now, did y'all get that? Do I say that again? Everybody get it?
Gotcha.
God, okay.
Gotcha.
So, I go back up here because I want to leave now from that to the kingdom. I think. Yeah. Or to the kingdom. That's Matthew 16:18, if I want to know where that is. When Jesus said, upon this rock, that she was singing about, I will build, who is it, my church. He didn't say all the churches in the name of who they chose to pick, but he said, upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So that's why we can sing this morning, it's fixed sight. And no matter what Satan do, he cannot come against the church of God. He cannot. And they should have the right pastor, the right leader. And if their heart is for the Lord, it's easy to tell it. I think, can I tell your testimony? Because one time I remember my husband, before he was my husband, he was asking some leaders, don't say never mess with you. And they told him, no, we're all right. And my husband looked like, okay, well, that's a dangerous place to be. Why you say this, Sister Adam Robinson? It's because if the devil never does anything to thwart the plan of God, we better all go hide. Because that's his mojo. That's how he operates. He come to kill, so to destroy. But the Lord said, I couldn't give you life more abundantly. Right in your church. Come on now, your church first. Then you carry with you into your fellowship place, your house of worship, like my husband says. But I thought about this statement, and I said, wow, yeah. So my little cliche is, when the devil comes to mess me, God's come to bless me.
when he sees it coming, you don't see it coming, you'll be in a full spirit with God, one-on-one, even in your personal intimate walk. And he's still, he's not more powerful than God or can't even touch God. But in our human mind, and most of the time when we even go to God, we haven't let up everything. There's a little Lord that he touches.
Thank you. So I'm moving on to kingdom. And there's a question I want to ask everybody. What kingdom are you living in? Because know the word for kingdom, and I'm get down to this real quickly, but the word for kingdom, and I found this when I was doing the kingdom teaching, the word for kingdom is basileia. It's a Greek word too, but it's B-A-S-I-L-E-I-A, basileia. So this one scripture references I have for the kingdom of God is Matthew 6:33. After Jesus said everything else that we can know, go for our heart. But in 33 verse, he says, but seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness.
And
all these shall be added to you. So I know that's the right way that God will do things, the righteousness of God. But the thing that I'm very good about is that basileia means the one in authority of that kingdom. So that pierced my intellect. This is why Bishop called me doctor, because I do study the word. Yep, I study to show myself approved unto God. Yep, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show myself approved to God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing word of truth. So when I study kingdom, recognize the kingdom means basileia, then God led me to Matthew 11:12. Like I said, you guys will be flipping all day long. But 11:12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. But the violence take it by force. Now look at that word. Okay, now the kingdom of heaven is called Uranus. I want to know who is the violent. And found another Greek word to call Biastes. B-I-A-S-T-E-S. We are the ones to take by prayer, by worship, by fasting and prayer. So I was struggling with the Lord, and I remember telling the Lord, oh, the world has its bees, you have yours. Because we are Biastes of God. We're not world. Remember, we're going to sojourners here. Go back and read John 17. We're only passing by. We're in the world, but we're not of it. So anyway, I had those in there because I know it's 12:30. So I know one thing about kingdom, and I did have these notes. So if we have a kingdom of God, meaning we all kingdom, study of God, and he is our lead, what about the kingdom? His kingdom is out of Ephesians 6:12. But he is evil, darkness, and wickedness. The enemy's kingdom. And this is the one that got me in trouble with the lady. I said the world has a kingdom. But if she was here right now, I would tell her, baby, I can use system all day long. I'm going to tell you what that scripture is. It's 1 John 2:6. But the Lord revealed to me, and I have a no year that was given to me by my spiritual father, which both of them know, Apostle Mabel, because he was interested. And if I had a little bit more time, I'd read my God thought, but my spiritual father responded about the kingdom, because he has a kingdom center as well. And he is in love with kingdom. But I gave my church a little bit of the kingdom teaching, and they did not see the world as a kingdom. But according to the scripture that gave, it said what? The lust of flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, it's of the world. So I didn't get to speak up. That's where I was going with that, because the other two scriptures I got, I can give you guys. And I think Dad's writing, he's working. But I will make these notes available, because I went down, it was Ephesians 6:12. And this is what my father said. I'll give you a couple of scriptures. He said Webster took the mindset of most Christians. Their goal is to get to heaven. Our mindset is the kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told me personally that the concept of the kingdom is caught more than taught by the Holy Spirit of God. So everybody's not going to catch concept of the kingdom of God. He said it's a cult concept. And I'm just doing what he's saying. That's a little part out of my actually calm God thought. And but it says the concept of kingship of God appears in Hebrew Bible with references to his kingdom and your kingdom, while the term kingdom of God is not directly used, it is tied to Jewish understanding that the Messiah, Jesus, God will restore the kingdom of Israel and kingdoms of the world, which is Revelation 11:15, following the Davidic covenant. Thessalia, that point to the Thessalia, the Greek. So that's why you guys are getting to teach it. But, and then like Romans 14:17, for the kingdoms of this world. No, excuse me. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, I jumped ahead. That's a good one to have. And then Revelation 15, when I was about to quote, says, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world, kingdoms of this world, have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and shall reign forever and ever. As these swallows going with their teaching, there's a woman, they got mad at me. She wouldn't understand I was in there for kingdom, because how many of us don't know how the world's being drawn right now by what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Mm-hmm. And they made it what, a kingdom. And if you go back and look at what kingdom means, it is the one who's in authority of that kingdom. And you have to obey. That's why I make a comment all the time, even in God's kingdom, there is order. There is order in God's kingdom.
Yes, it is.
And no, okay, that's the end of the God thought. Okay. Well, I do keep reading. I'll skip through the God thought for today, the sanctified Sunday, 8/29/21, is called Thy Kingdom Come. This God thought comes straight from the throne room and is on the verge of next week's message at the Rock of Salvation. Check our website, calendar, for invite. The link has been provided for you. Those who attend are more welcome to come. It's called the Church Ecclesia, the Kingdom, which is Thessalia, and the Harvest, which is all of us. The revelation is that God is in full charge of his kingdom. It was pointed out to me by my own spiritual father, kudos to Apostle Mabian. The concept of the kingdom of God within oneself is caught more than to be taught. I ask this question just this past Thursday at our own 7 o'clock a.m. prayer line. And then I give kudos to my bishop and pastor. I said, what kingdom are we living in? We have to send you guys to. The kingdom of God, that's 633. The kingdom of Satan, evil, wicked, and darkness. The carnality of this world system, 1 John 2:6. Lust of the eyes and flesh and pride of life, which is not okay. I already went there. Oh boy, what a choice. Thank God I chose his kingdom. Come, and his will be done. The earth to be done on in the earth as it is in heaven. That guy, how about you? This is the choice I want to make personal. This is the choice I want to make personally, and not a decision made for me. Don't wait to make it. Choose Jesus today as your Lord and Savior. Why don't you? While you still have time. It's running down, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's why I went into the meaning of the kingdom. And I got a little bit more depth. And that's what I wanted to hear. But anyway, while I still got some time, we go through harvest. Because harvest is, let's see. I got to mention this one. Because it's a kingdom divided. try to pull us. About another month or so, I'll be doing a bullying community event. And the Lord told me that sickness with bullying God's people. So I'll be talking about the bullying of the enemy, the end times. So speaking about that, when Jesus was telling us that a kingdom divided can't stand, he was talking about Satan's kingdom. Because we, when I was a fist fight, we won. But then one of my godfathers, I had to say it to him. Jesus wasn't talking about us, he's talking about you. How you gonna take the word and use it against us? If some don't know the word, they will take that.
Right.
So we don't let him divide us. He's given us what? Forgiving, loving, accepting, tolerance, long-suffering, all the fruit of the Spirit. He even told in Galatians 5, what the manifestation of the flesh is, and what the fruit of the Spirit is. So we have to exercise those things and not let Satan try to have control. Okay, I'm trying to do what I wanted to point out in Matthew 12. There was another kingdom scripture, but you got to get the notes. Now I'm going down to the harvest right quick as the last point. After me, about 5 more minutes. The harvest, Matthew 9:37. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest for the laborers. And I thank God for that. We got to pray because the harvest is plentiful. But guess what, y'all? They're in the church and they're out of the church. We have to pray for the harvest, the end time harvest. Because some even, and I hate to say that, but the knowledge that they have their outward apostleness, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So we have to do more training because some think they got it on somebody else's righteousness. But my mother, Prophetess Irma Jean Adams, always said, I don't care who and what scripture you give it, you come home here and you reread the word. My mother was adamant about reading that word for myself. And she would say that no matter who gave you the word, you reread it. You seek the Lord. You get to understand it for yourself. And y'all, that's why I did, been obedient. Now, I could be disobedient in the world. I sure wasn't going to be disobedient in my house and with my mama. I did what she said and kept reading it. And going back to that lady that was, I think she was excited or a little influenced by where she's at now. But her husband is the one that bought me her first Bible to me. And I kept reading after that, even when the church stopped, I kept on reading. And I kept on hiding. I've asked my husband right now, telling the heartbeat, what that scripture is. These words, oh Lord, have aimed in my heart.
Psalms 119:11.
Okay.
Thine words have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
That's it. Thank you. Thank you for that. So these words, Lord, I begin to hide. And I can tell you, if I see you today, I know God sent some angels by. I was still working at the VA, as I was still reading, and then stopped reading the word, and it would be people I never saw again that comment on the word. Read it. Don't try to memorize everything. Just read it. God's word works. I mean, it's different. At least 2 accounts I've had. I know it was angels. I even told one, you're an angel. And he just smiled. I said, that's an angel smile.
Spiritually discerning, that was God speaking through them to tell you to slow down and move.
Yes, I got that. So, I think I said something about that the harvest is all of us too, because we should never stop learning. Never stop being able to be instructed.
Right.
Like you said earlier, he chastised the ones he loved. So we need to make that turn, especially if we know. And if we don't, and we're being sideswiped, if somebody see that, and the word of God has said that, if you see a brother or sister, come on out, restore such a one.
Right.
And so he's left us with instructions on how to reach each elder, mm-hmm. and definitely how to reach the lost. The harvest. I think of Matthew 13 for the sake of time, because I think I only got like 2 minutes here. Wheat and tares, Matthew 13. I always think about that. That's what's going on in the world right now. That the wheat and the tares going up together. And the word of God said to us, I'm going to read the chapter, but my time is run down. So you guys go home and read that chapter. But it says, let them go together. And if the reapers at the end will come on now, we'll separate. Come on now. That reminds me of Matthew 25, when Jesus comes. And Todd, I like to say, the Son of God, this is the Son of Man when he comes. He'll sit on the throne of his glory, and he'll separate the sheep and the goats. And it's kind of like the wheat and the tares. They'll be separated. Now, whoever God says separate. But this is the thing. Thank you, Lord. Scriptures, and I'm in with this one in verse that one at. In Romans, I'll tell you the scripture reading. But the Satan is the prince of the air, Ephesians 2 and 2, and the systems of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it lists Satan as the god of this world. And the difference I think in that, when we back and looked at it, was that he had a little g, not the capital G. Bishop, you see me go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. See if I'm telling it wrong. 2 Corinthians 4:4. See if the Bible doesn't define Satan as the god, little g, of this world. Because that's what her argument was, that Satan is the god of this world. And I said, no, he's the prince of the air. But I see now where the other scripture is, but it's still little g. That I was trying to get something in, and she wouldn't even let me talk. That's why I didn't let that go. That's all right. And then, last scripture. Oh, it's Romans 8:19 that I wanted to share with you guys. And I got this on good account of the Holy Ghost. That because of translation changes, it changed this one word. Because in Genesis, when he created the world and man, we are his creation. But in Romans 8, in the King James Version, it says the creature. So this is the whole thing about that being a part of the harvest. The creature is growing, or creation is growing, and awaiting for the manifestation of the sons, and I added, and daughters of God, and children of God, to what? Be manifested. So that's what I like to end with, is that they're waiting with eager expectations for us, the sons and daughters. Come on now, to show them the way. Show them, teach them error. And they're going, I know some more kicking and prod. No. What do you tell Paul? Don't kick against the prick. Don't. Yep. And some are going to be kicking and hollering on my pastor, my bishop, my apostles. But they're in error somewhat if they don't teach the fullness of the Godhead. And that's the last scripture on my Colossians 2:9. In the fullness of the Godhead dwells him. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So yeah, amen. So if people or places picking and choosing how they want to see this thing, as a prophet, I'm sitting here saying, no, you still got the wrong focus. The wrong focus. God is in control of everything. Everything. And I know Solomon is taping this, so I will give this one free to the listeners. If you think it's just a pandemic, think again. Because God revealed to this prophet, it was a biological weapon. Now, I'm not saying what the God is going to do. I'm saying pray about it. See what our God tells you. Because he surely revealed to me. And sooner or later we'll hear it again. If it was the ballistic weapon. And on top of that, he had me do something he's never done before. I heard the person in his camp. I heard him there trying. I heard, and I said, Lord, is this such and such? And the Lord said, yeah, it was. So let's keep your ears attuned, and then you'll get a good revelation. And I'm not trying to warn anybody about if they may have been mind not about the shot. I'm so glad the Lord told me it's not the mark he was speaking of. He led me to Revelation 16. So that helps anybody. Know the word of God for yourself. Know it for yourself.
That's right.
Have a personal relationship
for
yourself. He will tell you. He will tell you. He will tell you. And it won't be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He will set you straight. Yes, he will. And he'll put you where he wants you to be. Just ask him. Ask me in the right place. As our apostle, he did well on schooling us about the churches you could be in. So ask him when you're in the right church. Ask him. Don't take for granted that you are not. He may want you in a little smaller. He may want you in a bigger. But are they teaching the fullness of the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to know. Teach the fullness. Teach the fullness. Because the harvest is plentiful.
That's right.
And the laborers are few. But you got to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Help us, Lord. Help us. So, Father God, I thank you for the attention of those listening to this word.
Yes.
I thank you that you're going to guide us and teach us and lead us the way we should go.